Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Coming up in 30 minutes, I'm very excited. Your boy, Ozzie Newsome, will join the show, talk all things Baltimore Ravens.
Absolutely.
What is his official title now in Baltimore? Still is involved with the team.
Yeah, he's still involved. He still has an office there. I don't know his exact title. But we need to get that. But I'm sure it's some type of consulting because he's still in the building every day. He still has an office there. So it'll be good to have him on to, you know, talk about, obviously, the new signing of Derrick Henry. But then, you know, him as a former GM, how does he approach free agency? And then I want to ask him the one question that has been floating around here forever and ever and ever.
Is the cap fake?
Is the cap fake? I will ask him that.
I think that we should.
Exactly.
I think that we absolutely should. Willie Donick joins the show from Winnipeg. Willie D, how we doing?
If you don't ask that, I will, teammates, because that question needs to be answered by a GM for sure.
Exactly.
But I am doing well. I'm staying warm up here. 37 degrees officially here in Winnipeg, which is a nice March day.
Summer.
For people here. Yeah.
We laughing at you now, Willie, because remember, Willie, when it was freezing cold here,
and you were
just 70 degrees, living it up.
Oh, yeah, I was on the beach. I was talking trash. I was looking at the water.
Willie was doing shows with sunscreen on his
exactly.
nose, his board shorts on.
The tables have turned.
The Arctic tundra of Winnipeg.
Yes.
All right, Willie, I do want to get your thoughts on the Predators matchup tonight, because I do think that there are a couple different ways that you can look at this Predators game tonight. Again, Preds in action taking on the Jets tonight on the road. Puck drop at 6:30. We'll have your pregame coverage here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Also, Barry Trotz joining Stillman & Company today at 5 p.m. But before we get into the Predators matchup, I did want to touch on some news that came out, and it's really been ramping up over the last few days. And that's the Titans' involvement in the Legarius Sneed sweepstakes. Now, we've been hearing day over day over day that the Titans are hanging around in that conversation. We saw a report yesterday that reportedly the trade that's in conversation is a third-round pick. The Titans don't have a third-round pick. It would be a 2025 third-round pick. But, Willie, D-Mays, correct me if you feel differently. If I'm Kansas City, no way I'm trading Legarius Sneed, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the National Football League and surely the best cornerback potentially on the market, for a 2025 third.
Well, it's what the market will bear. If it's that, I'm running to the phone to call to make that deal happen. If that's all it takes, I suspect it's going to take a little more. I think the Chiefs will probably wait as long as they can before they decide what they'll do. Because I think what you want is a couple of teams jumping in there. You guys have heard me saying this Titans team needs draft picks. They need to make picks. They need to replenish the roster. They don't have the depth and the layers on the roster to win. Right now, they've got to change that. And a great player like Sneed single-handedly cannot turn this team into a winner. They don't have enough players right now to do that. He would help. So I think you got to be careful what you would give up for him, because he's going to cost. I heard Tim Hasselbeck say reset the market. So he's super expensive. He is young enough that he can be a part of your team for a long time, but he's going to take up a big percentage of your cap. So if you're going to get him, you're going to have to pay. And so I think you want to try to hold on to as many assets as you can, because you're going to need those draft picks even more if you're going to spend money on a player like him.
No, you're right, Willie. But I just think that, you know, maybe if indeed you're going to make the move, then maybe he's one of those guys you make the move for, considering that is a need, a position of need. So, you know, now how much are you willing to give up? That's a different story. But I think you have to at least make a serious push to try to get that player in here, at least on a visit or something. Because if you don't, then, you know, I just think you would have, you know, let a good opportunity, you know, kind of walk by you without even stopping, you know, to see if it was a possibility, you know, or what would it actually take to bring him here.
I'm with Willie. If it's a 2025 third, done deal.
Oh, of course.
And I'm not even letting a second pass. But don't we know better than that? Like, don't we know that trades in the NFL, if there is a trade offer on the board that feels mm-hmm. so obvious for one side, like, it's not realistic.
But what if it's this? Kansas City, they know that more than likely, you know, you have Chris Jones, who signed a huge deal. You're going to somehow, some way, redo Patrick's contract because you keep kicking things down. They just redid his contract.
Yeah, so he'll get $21 million up front.
Yeah, so, but it doesn't mean, like, you still owe him money in the future.
But that's just cash.
Yeah.
That's off the books for this season.
So, to me, it's do we sign him back along with the other guys that we got to sign back? And listen, they got to sign back guys on that defensive side of the ball, too. I mean, the linebacker. He's still working on his first deal, right? Bush? Is it Bush? Who's the linebacker for Kansas City now?
Willie Gay Jr. just signed with the Saints.
So he left.
He left and went to the Saints for a 1-year deal. That was last night.
Okay. Yeah. So, to me, you have other guys that you're going to have to eventually pay. And how, as long as they got Chris Jones, they probably believe that we could possibly go cheaper at that position and not pay that position what it's worth. Like, Ladarius Sneed is worth, you know, probably the money that he wants. But Kansas City's probably looking at it as this. Listen, we got our main guy that we wanted to get signed, and that was Chris Jones. What Chris Jones is able to do, it affects what they're doing in the secondary. He gets to the passer quicker, you don't have to cover longer.
Yeah.
So we don't need a 20-plus or $18 million guy on the outside, so we can trade him. Now, they can't keep him on a tag. I understand that.
Yeah, they already tagged him.
But if the longer you keep him, his value goes down. So if nobody's really offering him offering you a second rounder this year or a first rounder,
then I don't trade him.
Are a team, well, more than likely, then there is a part that says don't trade him.
Yeah.
But what if Kansas City's like, listen, we need to move, we need to get him somewhere else. We want to allocate that money to other people or other positions. Okay, a third rounder next year. What if they said a third, a second next year, and a third?
I wouldn't take any
or
picks
a second and
for
fourth
next year.
A second, a next year, and a fourth this year. They're fourth this year. Well, you don't have a third, so
you don't have a third.
You would have just your first two picks. You wouldn't do it for a second next year and a fourth this year. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm just saying
I would
a
need,
fourth this year and a second next year.
I would need more insurance now because I'll just have Legarius Sneed play on the franchise tag in the next year.
And then next year you lose him for nothing.
Possibly.
You can't. You're not going to get anything for him next year.
Or re-sign him next year.
Because he's going to. But you're not going to re-sign him.
Why
because
not?
Because my thing is, if he plays anywhere near what he played this year or play even better,
then he's going to win the Super Bowl again.
He's going to want more money. But here again, they're not going to pay him. Wow, we won three Super Bowls in a row. We can move on from him now and pluck somebody else. As long as we got the quarterback. That's all that really matters, right? As long as we got the quarterback, as long as we got our defensive tackle, and we got our tight end, we may get another receiver, hopefully. Then Ladarius Sneed, it's not a position where I'm going to overpay. Why? Because we just won three straight. Now we need to we can move on from them now. We can take that money and allocate it to other positions. I'm not saying that they're going to do that, but
I think they've got him for one more year at the most.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I suspect, Derek, that you're right, that with the money that they're paying Jones and they're having to move money around with Mahomes and his contract, it's just like any really good team year after year. You have tough choices to make because of the cap, and you really have to decide what's the most important thing. And do you have an alternative plan? Do you have enough defensive backs that you could live without Sneed and then really use that money smartly in other areas. So I think that's what's going to determine how desperate they are to trade him this year, and will they take something very low to trade the contract. So I think they're going to wait it out as long as they can to see if somebody will bite on something more than, say, a third.
Mm-hmm.
I just – the multiple picks for the Titans, second and fourth, it doesn't sound like a whole lot, but they need a lot of players. I think long and hard. I mean, I don't know everything about this guy, what makes him tick, you know, what's his longevity. But I still look at a guy – they're not one player away, the Titans, not right now. So this has to be a long-term move if you're going to do it. And they need draft picks.
He's young, so I think that would be the idea, is he would be your long-term cornerback of the future. But if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, look, I take the Barry Trotz approach. I say, look, my price is my price because I don't have to move him. That he can play under the tag this season if we don't get what we want in return for him. What they want in return, I don't know. It was reportedly a third-round pick. That feels low to me, but if that's the Chiefs' price, then hey, that's the Chiefs' price.
Mm-hmm.
But a 2025 third would be much too rich for my blood if I am, in fact, the Kansas City Chiefs. But luxurious need would completely change your defense.
You're saying it would be too rich if they gave up a third-round pick next year for luxurious need. It would be too rich.
Excuse me, that's not enough.
Oh, it's not enough.
I misspoke. Okay, excuse me. That's not a 2025 third. I mean, just think about it if you're the Titans. Let's say, you know, it's hard for me to pull out really good players on the Titans.
With the Titans, it's like,
But, like, if we're one of your best players defensively, would mm-hmm. you trade that player for a third next year if you didn't have to trade him? I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
But if the Chiefs
unless,
do it, then great.
Yeah, unless, again, you feel that you're going to lose him next year anyway. So you want to try to get something for him. You feel we're not going to pay him, you know, the money that he wants and that he probably deserves. And we don't want to lose him for nothing. So teams, listen, this is not the first time it would happen in the NFL where teams get to, just like, Chicago, they're in a position now where the longer they wait, it's like we're just going to have to take what people give us. You know, we no longer our price yesterday isn't going to be the price tomorrow. It's going to be lower the longer we hang on to Justin Fields. I see that with Ladarius Sneed as well. The longer they hold on to Ladarius Sneed, yes, it will benefit them this year. Next year, he'd just walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without you even getting compensation. But if you want to trade him this year, the longer you wait, the less likely you will get top dollar for him. When I mean top dollar, I mean the picks that you want for him.
If I'm the Chiefs, you have to weigh. You know, if that's the one, the offer that you have on the table, what's more valuable to me?
Mm-hmm.
A 2025 third round pick? Or one more year of luxurious need on the franchise tag. I say one mm-hmm. more year of luxurious need on the franchise tag, which would say you're going to have to cough up a little bit more to get luxurious need. And I did see a report that the Titans reportedly did say that the first and second this year are off the table, and mm-hmm. I think that's the right approach.
Of course.
I'm not trading a first, and I'm not trading a second
absolutely.
In this year's draft.
And here's the other thing to consider, and D-Mates, you know this comes up all the time when you're talking about the franchise tag, because players don't like it. And so what I don't know enough about Jarius Sneed, the person, to know if this would affect him. But, you know, when you're playing on that tag, you're probably not all that excited about the situation, especially if the team basically says, we got you here for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some guys have handled that fine and some guys don't. And, you know, you start talking about holdouts and things like that. I don't know if that's in the cards, but I don't know if it's just as simple as, yeah, we'll just keep him for one more year on the tag. Because there can be some potential issues with that.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I agree with you. You know, but listen, Kansas City has to find out, you know, have to figure out, listen, is it better to keep him this one year and more than likely lose him next year? Or do we get draft picks, not necessarily for this year, but for next year, we can get somebody to give us their second or their third next year, or their second and fourth, or their third and fourth next year. Is that better for us in the long run? it may be better for them in the long run. Because listen,
if I'm Kansas City, I'm not worried about the long run.
No.
I'm worried about winning another Super Bowl because I can do that this year.
But they're not going to. They will still be in a position to win a Super Bowl without a Ladarius Sneed. They will be. They have another corner on their roster that's damn good too. That's pretty good too. So Ladarius Sneed, he's a top of that mountain as far as their corner. But they have another really good cornerback on that roster. To me, it's okay. Do we hold on to him or do we get something for him now? Because Kansas City, we figure, is always going to be drafted at the bottom of the first round because of who they are and how far we predict they will go each and every year, at least for the next 2 or 3 years. So
they'll be picking in the 30s.
Yeah, so why not pick up a third and a fourth or second next year, knowing that we're going to be picking dead last more than likely in the draft in the first round, which more than likely equals to a second round pick. Why not pick up more draft capital next year? Because we're not going to get it this year. Why not pick up more draft capital next year? And now we can move on from this player that's been good for us, but we're not going to pay him what he wants in the long run.
If you think Legarius Sneed is more valuable than a second round pick.
And I think that's an important question is, like, let's say with hockey, right now you've got a team like Tampa, a team like Colorado that are in the window, and they're basically saying we're going year to year, and every year we're pushing all our chips to the table. We'll trade any future draft pick that we've got to do it, and we'll deal with the consequences down the road. There's several teams that are taking that approach right now, and they're being lauded for their aggressiveness. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to age and be over the hill in 1 or 2 years, right? So I think you're Kansas City, you're like, I want to be in it every year if I can. And so I've got to make some calculated moves. If I give up – and I think the Patriots did it brilliantly, right, with Brady and sustained it. They have a lot of times where you kind of raise your eyebrows and say, well, they're getting rid of Lawyer Malloy, or they're moving on from Richard Seymour. You know, there's some key guys that they said, okay, let's move this guy now. We can survive without him because we've got Brady and we'll take the return. I think that's kind of how you got to look at it if you're the Chiefs, right? Because, you know, Patrick Mahomes is not 35 or 36 years old.
No, you're right.
I'm just saying, if I'm Kansas City, I wouldn't do it. But I think that the Titans are doing the right thing in having those conversations. If I'm Kansas City, I wouldn't do a next year's third. If I'm the Titans, I don't trade a first or a second this year. And I probably don't – I definitely don't trade a first next year and probably not a second next year.
Well, what if you could say
Legarius Sneed as a Titan.
Well, I'll throw the same thing I did out there when we discussed T. Higgins. If you waited for 1 year and you say to yourself, okay – maybe somebody pulls the trigger and pays a big price for Sneed. Okay, then we're out of the game. We missed our chance. But is there a chance that he hits the market and it's just straight cash? You pay the guy in a year where you got a better idea of where your team is after another season, and then you don't have to give up any draft picks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you would still have to address corner now.
I mean, you do, but obviously you do, but if I'm Rand Carthon, I know I can't fix all the holes in 1 year. And I'm going to fix what I can, and I'm not going to blow my budget in 1 year. I want to have good cap flexibility over the next couple years as I see where the holes are. I'm hoping that some other guys who are cheap, draft picks, et cetera, maybe some players
like
who have been
Charles.
On the team. Well, I mean, cheap free agents, draft picks, guys you pull off the street, guys who are you're developing on your own with a new staff here. Maybe Chig takes a step forward. And then there are guys. So you got a budget for those guys if they are ready to make more money. So there's a lot of things you have to think of, you know, when you're trying to build a roster from the bottom, which is they're close to the bottom right now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, I'm really excited. Former Baltimore Ravens general manager and now executive vice president of player personnel, Ozzie Newsome will join us coming up next. We'll get his perspective of Derrick Henry heading to Baltimore, plus his GM perspective. Just kind of nitpick his GM mind. Now that the Titans are in a place with a young quarterback, that they have a lot of cash to spend, they have a lot of positions of need, we're in the thick of free agency, I want want to get his thoughts, and we will chat with Ozzie Newsome coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Derrick Henry is officially a Baltimore Raven, and I know that those words just sting as they hit your ears. I get it. I understand. But we also are in the thick of free agency. Several moves coming down the pipe here. Mike Williams has been released by the LA Chargers. So Mike Williams, wide receiver, is now officially a free agent. The Titans have made some moves. Still several moves left to be made. And joining us now to break down things, all things Baltimore and all things GMing, is former Baltimore GM and now Executive Vice President of Player Personnel, Ozzie Newsome. Ozzie, really appreciate your time. I'm glad we could get you on with D-Mace here. A little reunion from the Baltimore Raven days.
Thank you, and I'm enjoying. Looking forward to enjoying the opportunity to talk with Derrick and the rest of you all.
Now, Ozzie, obviously, people know about your playing career, but you know your GM career has been as good, even better. What has made that transition for you from a player to a GM work? And how do you, as a former GM, how do you sort of attack free agency since we're in the free agency period now?
Well, you know, it all began when my last year in the league, when I was asked by Mr. Modell if I wanted to stay within the organization. And I did, and I told him I wanted to stay on the football side. But the year I retired, is the year that they hired Bill Belichick. And so having the opportunity to work with Bill for 5 years when I was just learning the business, I don't think you can put any measure on that. Watching the way he conducted meetings on the coaching side, and then watching the way he conducted the meetings in the draft room and so forth. So he gave me a great foundation about, you know, life after football in either coaching or personnel. And then once we made the decision, Mr. Modell made the decision to move from Cleveland to Baltimore, I was asked to move with the team, and he asked me would I become the head of player personnel. And I accepted that position. And the thing that really helped me is all of the guys that I had worked with, you know, I knew their strengths and weaknesses, the other scouts. And we just, you know, rolled up our sleeves and, you know, got a little dirty and went to work.
Now, with that being said, how do you approach free agency, or how did you approach free agency? Because now here in Nashville with Rand Carthon having his second year as GM, there are a lot of Titan fans that are screaming and yelling, he's not doing enough, he's not doing enough. You have this huge budget, you know, for free agency, but you're not attacking it sort of the way that other teams are, looking at the Houston Texans and what they're doing within the division. And I'm trying to tell, you know, everyone, hey, listen, be patient. Allow him to build this team, not necessarily for the now, but for the future as well.
Oh, you're right. We don't play games till September. And you don't lose or win games in March or April. You know, you lose them from September to January. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to build a team. You know, for years we didn't have any cap room ourselves, and so we basically had to build through the draft. And I think that's what most teams will do. You know, at that point you're able to, you know, utilize your draft resources. You get a guy for 4 years, you know, at the minimum that they have to play. So I think that's the best way to build a football team. And then you augment that with free agents, like as we did with yourself, mm-hmm. with Samari Rowe, with Steve McNair. I guess that's a bunch of Titans that I'm talking about. and now with Derrick. You know, you augment your team, but you build it through the draft. And so – everybody that are making headlines over Monday, Tuesday, today, the rest of this week, that don't necessarily mean those teams are going to be the ones that's going to be playing in late January.
Talking with former Ravens general manager and now executive vice president Ozzie Newsome in the Baltimore Ravens. You bring up Derrick Henry. I know so many Titans fans are so sad to see him go. I mean, he's been a legend in Nashville. Can you walk us through the process of getting that deal done, kind of the Ravens' perspective in, of what Derrick Henry brings to that offense, augmenting that strong Ravens run game?
Well, having served on the competition committee for over 20 years, I can't touch that question because it's not 4 o'clock and he hadn't signed any deal and he's still a Tennessee Titan.
We'll call back in a few hours.
Exactly.
You know, so, I cannot talk about that. As of right now, Derek is a Tennessee Titan and I respect all of the rules.
Absolutely. Completely understand. The Titans coming into their second year with Will Levis. And it feels like this offseason, everything is dedicated to what can we do to help the young quarterback, bringing in Brian Callahan, who has a proven track record of working with young quarterbacks and even veteran quarterbacks. I believe that will be the approach in free agency in the draft as well. From your perspective, what are the most important factors for building around young quarterbacks?
I think you start with the offensive line. You got to be able to protect the quarterback, and you got to have the ability that he can hand the ball off and have a running game. And if you get those, then you can add the other pieces on the outside or a tight end. But you got to start within the offensive line, get you a good, strong offensive line, a bunch of smart guys that understand schemes and understand different front coverages and blitzes. And you get that solid so that the quarterback is not under duress. And then you go from there.
We're talking to NFL Hall of Famer Ozzie Newsome, now the executive VP for the Baltimore Ravens. Ozzie, it's such a pleasure to get to talk to you. I was looking over some of your numbers because I can go back as a kid. I remember watching you a lot. And I want to ask you about your time at Alabama because, as you know, the college game evolves. And when you were playing tight end at Alabama, they were under Bear Bryant. They're running the wishbone. You guys won a ton of games. But you had to get used to just catching the ball maybe two or three times in a game. You had huge yards per catch. And obviously the pro scouts saw what they needed to see. But how much of an adjustment was it for you to go from that type of offense to a pro offense basically overnight? Because you made an immediate impact for the Browns.
Well, I think, playing in the wishbone, people were, destined to try to stop the run. Try to stop the triple option. So it allowed me the ability to work one-on-one and to learn how to become a crafty receiver, beating one-on-one coverages. And then when they started to realize I was having some success, then they were double. So then now I learned how to beat the double. So I think playing in the wishbone, even though I didn't have a lot of numbers, but it really allowed me the opportunity to, number one, learn how to beat one-on-one coverage, but also learn how to be able to dissect coverages and find my ways to soft spots so that I could be effective in the pass game.
You had to be unselfish too, I'm sure. I can't imagine Derek Mason getting the ball two or three times a week and not saying a few things, but it probably wasn't easy to go to Coach Bryant and give you the ball.
I've lived that, so I know what that looks like,
What do you think was the biggest thing that you learned?
You just walk away from Derek.
Ozzie, what do you think you took away most? I'm sure you've been asked this question dozens of times over your lifetime, but what was the biggest takeaway from playing for a legend like Bear Bryant?
Well, I spoke to a group last week, and I think I summed it up this way. I went to the University of Alabama because of Coach Bryant, but also because the opportunity to win. I mean, they had a very successful program. But I think what I came away with is that the lessons that he was teaching us as young men is how to become good fathers, be good family men, to become very involved in your community and understand the importance of that. But and also just to have an appreciation of the game of football. And we always talked about change, and change happened in life. and you got to be able to adapt to change. And he taught us how, you know what, you know, it could be this way one day and be totally something different the next day. And you got to be able to adjust. So I think playing for him, gaining that foundation of his leadership really propelled me to where I am right now.
I got one more before I throw it back to D-Mace for the last couple of questions here. And, you know, you just mentioned how important it is to surround a good young quarterback with a good offensive line. I hear so much today, and we watched the college game. It's totally different from when you were playing. The spread offenses, and they say a lot, it's hard to sometimes evaluate offensive linemen because the game is so different in the pro game. So how do you try to adjust, as a talent evaluator, how do you try to evaluate offensive linemen in today's college game?
You look for the athlete. You still can judge an athlete even in today's game. You know, you can watch how a guy bend, his ability to change direction, and his ability to, you know, move down the field. You know, you can watch how he work his feet because he's in pass protection probably 60-70% of the time. So there are certain traits that you can look for that, you know, still translate into, oh, this guy's going to be a real good athlete. They're coming out so much bigger now. So you get a big athlete, and you realize if they have the intellect, then to be able to pick up different schemes and fronts and so forth, as I talked about before, then you can sit there and evaluate an offensive lineman and come away with a good evaluation.
We'll talk with Ozzie Newsome. Baltimore Ravens executive vice president. Now, Ozzie, what would you say to those that are claiming that, you know, the cap is fake, that look at what these teams are doing supposedly with no money, Kansas City and all these other teams, the Rams, they're doing this without any money, but there's a cap there, but it seems like these guys are spending over the cap, so it really doesn't pertain to them. What do you say to those that say, well, the cap's really fake?
It's like a credit card. Mm-hmm. You go out and spend money on that credit card. At some point, mm-hmm. you go have to pay that bill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are ways that you can manipulate it. But as you know, even those teams that you've talked about and other teams, at some point, they have to go through a total redevelopment of their football team because, you know, they got so much money just pushed out into the future that eventually you get to those years and it sucks up the cap, that space that you would have. So you got to reshuffle your deck. So the cap is real. The cap is real. It's a hard cap. And every dollar under the cap that you use, it counts. It may not count today, but it will count at some point. So it really has made this league a very competitive league.
And quickly before, I know Carolina has one more question for you. What are your thoughts on Rand Carthon? Because, you know, when he came here last year, he just sort of walked into a situation and it seems like he was deferring more to everyone else because he's a new GM. But it seems like this year they gave him another more titles, and it seems like he's more immersed into what this team can ultimately be, not just today but in the future. But what is the consensus of Rand Carthon as a GM?
Well, I can only give you my perspective and watching Rand, even when he was at San Francisco, I think. You know, he's a very knowledgeable guy. He's got unbelievable work ethic. And I think he's able to put good people around him to help him to be a success. And those are the things that I've noticed about him. And I think those are the things that's going to allow him to be a very successful GM, even though he's in the AFC. And I don't root for AFC GMs, but for those reasons, I think he will do a great job. And I think he has a very good young quarterback to start off with.
Last one for you, Ozzie. Denard Wilson, I know he spent just a short period of time in Baltimore, but he comes into Nashville as the Titans' next defensive coordinator. Now, I'm excited. I know a lot of Titans fans are excited about what they've heard from Denard Wilson, but just from your perspective, what are Titans fans getting in the new defensive coordinator?
A great hire. We had Denard here for a year. I got to spend a lot of time around him, with him. Number one, he's a great teacher. He has an unbelievable background in football and understanding schemes and different things like that. I think he has a presence, and when he stands in front of the group and delivers, and he don't mind chewing a little ass also. So
that is so, great to hear.
I think that was a great hire, and I'm really happy for him. As I said, I got the only chance to spend a year with him. But he is a man that has a bright, bright future in the National Football League.
Well, that's great to hear, because we sure enough need it here in Nashville, as this team, you know, is being built by Rand and the coaching staff over there at the Titans facility. But again, thank you, Ozzie, for coming on. We do appreciate it. You know, I enjoyed my time there. Thank you for signing me there. I enjoyed my time once again, and I will always think of you. You and Floyd are the two greatest GMs that I know, because you've done such a wonderful job. Floyd did a wonderful job here before his passing, and you have continued to do a wonderful job there in Baltimore.
And I could say I had a lot of respect for Floyd Reese myself. Mm-hmm. I think it was Floyd and I that made the trade for Steve McNair. I think that's who made the trade with me. But, you know, I will say this for all your listeners in Nashville. I grew up in Muscle Shoals, which is what, maybe 2 hours from there. And my mother really wanted me to go to Vanderbilt because she didn't think I was a very good football player.
Well, Vanderbilt would have loved you. Lost
that. You're breaking my heart, Ozzie. You're breaking my heart. I'm a Commodore. What might have been?
Well, Ozzie, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to speak with you today. Really, really appreciate your time. I promise we'll take care of Derek Mason here if you take care of Derek Henry there in Baltimore.
We will in Roll Tide.
I mean,
there you go.
I just,
you're talking to an LSU grad.
I just said
Ozzie.
So many nice things.
Okay.
Now, you know, you're just picking on Willie. You know,
well, like I said, y'all understand how football is down south. It's 12 months out of the year, you know.
365 days a year, absolutely. Ozzie, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your time. We'll catch up soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
I appreciate it. Ozzie Newsome, an absolute legend. D-Mace, appreciate you for getting him on. He's wonderful. All right, we'll react to what we had to hear from Ozzie Newsome there, and we'll do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight as MTSU basketball takes on Louisiana Tech in the Conference USA Men's Basketball Tournament. Pre-game at 7:30, tip-off at 8, with coverage also available on 93.3 Classic Hits app and at 93.3classichits.com. Quickly, Ozzie Newsome, an absolute legend. What'd you take away, D-Mace?
One, that the cap is real. It's a credit card. You got to pay that bill.
Are you listening?
It is real.
You got to pay
that bill. You know, some teams try to push it out, but eventually, you know, collector comes knocking on your door.
Can we all agree?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cap spending.
No, but you got to end up paying for it. Eventually, you got to pay for it, and that's what I got from him. And then also, you know, for those that are, you know, saying, Ryan, you need to go out there. The, you know, former GM, one of the best GMs ever, told you, listen, this is how we built the team, you know, through the draft and augmented through free agency. That's how we did it.
And, you know, most important thing for a young quarterback,
yeah,
offensive line.
Absolutely. He didn't say a speedy wide receiver, did he?
Well, I still would like a speedy wide receiver.
Oh, I still would like one.
I'm never going to say no to a speedy wide receiver. But Andre Dillard, no thanks.
Nah.
All right, Willie, have a great call tonight. Predators in action, puck drop at 6:30 p.m. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace. But you can't stay.